It is Thursday. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And it's a gorgeous day. Almost summertime, getting up into the mid-80s later on today. A wonderful day going on. And we'll try to make it even nicer for you. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. And you're always invited to be a part of the program telephonically or cybernetically by giving us a call at 414-1234, the local number in the Tallahassee area. Long distance, give us a ring at 800-926-8809, our email perspectives at WFSU.org, and our Twitter handle is at WFSUperspective. Cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosa, Usher syndrome, boy, the list goes on and on of the causes of total and partial blindness. And modern medicine has helped, really, to blunt the impact of many of these afflictions. But blindness still impacts more than 6 million people in this country. Luckily, there's all kinds of resources and many dedicated people working to not only expand access, but also improve the quality of life for folks with visual challenges. And that is what we are talking about here today on Perspectives. And we have a great panel of folks lined up to talk about those resources and also to kind of increase awareness of what's going on in the entire realm of visual impairments and what is available to improve that quality of life and make jobs more available and all that sort of thing. So let's say hi first to Beth Crane. She's Program Administrator of Client Services for the Florida Department of Education Division of Blind Services and is in the State Administration Office. Thanks for coming on board, Beth.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We're also happy to say hi to Donald Christie. He's board member of the National Federation of the Blind's Tallahassee chapter, and his day job is a systems project analyst over at the Florida Public Service Commission, the FPSC. Donald, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We also say hello and welcome back to Johnny Slayton, president of the National Federation of the Blind Tallahassee Chapter, senior rehabilitation specialist. She also is with the Florida Department of Education Division of Blind Services and District 2, which is the Tallahassee District. How many districts are there, Johnny?
I think we have about 13 districts throughout the state, and Tallahassee is District 2.
Well, we really happy to have you back on, and thanks again for preparing so much of the information here that we're going to be talking about today. Now, you had told me before in our last conversation that the real problem of blindness is not specifically loss of eyesight, but it's a lot of misunderstanding, misperception, lack of information that is so widespread right now that, oh gosh, folks who particularly are fully blind are helpless. That they have to be cared for, coddled. They can't live independently. And you immediately got your hackles up and said, that is not true at all. Right?
That's correct. And that's really why we're here, to let you know that blindness is not the end of the road. It's the beginning of a new way. And to provide you information about services through Division of Blind Services and support through the National Federation of the Blind.
Now, in your situation, you were not born blind, right?
That's correct.
Okay, what happened? How'd you lose your sight?
Well, I lost my sight due to a catastrophic illness. So all of a sudden, ding dong, the lights were out. And it could have been really, really traumatic. I could have just said, oh, wow, I can't do anything. But actually, when you have a visual impairment or something like a traumatic illness, it is related to who you are before that happens. And before that happened, I was okay with myself. But I was fortunate to find out about services that enabled me to do everything that I did, except for drive my car, before losing my sight. And it was like, wow. I didn't have to depend upon people leading me around. I didn't have to depend on people making my decisions. I was able to be part of the real world in the same way as my counterpart who are sighted.
Well, you also had some help here. We're going to talk to that person here in just a second on Perspectives. Donald Christie, your story. What happened with your sight?
Well, I was born with RP and optic atrophy. There was an adjustment period for me as a child growing up in a sighted world. you know, being able to read printed material, just being able to play on the playground was an adjustment period. But with services through blind services and, you know, other organizations, I was, you know, able to make that adjustment and grow up.
Okay. Now, you said RP. That's retinitis pigmentosa.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. How did the kids react that you were growing up with?
Most kids were very helpful. I was always being offered help, and, you know, that was good for me.
Okay. Beth Crane, you had a connection here long before, of course, this program here with Johnny Slayton. What was that relationship you had?
Yes, I was her VR counselor when her vision had deteriorated. And I met with Johnny at her workplace. She was already working. And she knew that, you know, she wanted to continue working and be as independent as possible. So she found out about Division of Blind Services and what we could offer for her. And when I met with Johnny, from the first day, she was determined that she was going to do everything she needed to do to learn the technology that was available to help her as a blind individual to function as independently as possible and continue working.
Because so many people think of, I guess, the old Division of Blind Services, if we can kind of harken back to the day when, all right, they would assist in finding employment, usually in some kind of a little retail shop or something like that. And it seemed as though the scope of activities and careers and all of that for folks with visual impairment was much much more constricted back then than it is today, right?
That's correct. With the increases in technology, the sky's the limit what individuals can do who are blind and visually impaired.
Okay. Well, Johnny Slayton, you proved that to me a long time ago when all I had to do was shoot off an email to you, and boy, within about a minute and a half, I would get a reply back. What is that technology like that enables you to do everything on a computer that any sighted person could do?
The technology that I utilize is called JAWS, which is Job Access with Speech. And it is a speech program. It's a screen reader, so that anything that is on the screen that a sighted person sees, I have access to that through keystrokes, because I can't use the cursor, I can't use the mouse. So JAWS speaks to me, and I learn to utilize it in internet and email, and that is correct. So that's how you can get that 2 o'clock in the morning email that says, okay, this is what we're doing. And I can do that independently. I don't have to wait for someone to read it. I don't have to wait to respond. And it is just exhilarating to know that I have that kind of control.
Okay. And Donald Christie, I mean, you have a very complicated, involved sort of responsibility over at the Public Service Commission. You were telling me about some of the systems that you do an analysis for, and the dockets and all of that other information. You've got some technology that helps you out too, right?
Yes, I use a product called Zoom Text, and it offers not only speech but screen enlargement, because I do have some sight. And I've used that for several years now, and it's been very effective and helping me to get my work done.
Yeah, which is an incredible amount of work. Even those, as we had said before we went on the air, boy, the size of the dockets, or a number of dockets may not be what they once were at the PSC, but still there's an awful lot of stuff those folks do, and the information that is generated at the Public Service Commission is massive. So, and you keep up with it, no problem.
No problem.
Okay. And Beth Crane, that's something else that people, I think, are under the impression that will certainly, if it is a job that depends on a lot of analysis and what would be thought of as visual sorts of things, that folks with visual impairments just can't do that.
And that's absolutely not correct. The blind, as you can see here with Johnny and Donald, they can do their job. They can do it independently, and they do it well.
And that would be also a concern maybe of employers that, uh-oh, now I'm going to have to go out and get all of this software. I'm going to have to retrofit all the systems. It's going to be a massive undertaking. It may not be worth it.
And we can help with that as well. We contract with CRPs throughout the state, and they can help with doing those scriptings to make the job match the client with the software that they need. And as Johnny and Donald has shown you, it's no problem.
Johnny Slayton, you've got an awful lot of things that are I guess, cooking as far as additional services are concerned for the Federation of the Blind Tallahassee chapter here. What else do you offer besides the employment considerations?
Well, in all sincerity, the employment is actually offered through Division of Blind Services. On the other side of the world, after 4 o'clock, I am the president of the Tallahassee chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. And it is a support group of people who are blind and visually impaired and sighted people who provide services for helping people with visual impairment to live full and productive life. So some of the things on that plate include advocacy. If there is an issue concerning your visual impairment or blindness, then NFB can assist with that. The main thing locally is peer support. We're here. We're here to tell you that it's not the last mile of the way. We're here to show you that we can do this with this alternative, non-visual way. We do have support for basic local and state legislation about activities and laws for people who are blind, the White Cane Law. We do have meetings once a month that promote Braille, that promote integration, that give public alert to our Tallahassee Police Department and other officials about the rights of people who are blind. But the main thing, it's been accepted in General World 101 as our sighted counterparts.
It was interesting to me on the last retrofit of Tallahassee's sidewalks that nearly every intersection now, as the sidewalk projects progress, now have the little bumps, the little yellow area right before the right at the curb, so that folks who have visual impairments and are using a cane can determine, okay, here's where we cross the street. And that seems to be a growing awareness that we didn't have just a generation ago. We're going to take a quick time out on our discussion here of blindness and the services available to folks with visual impairments here on Perspectives. 414-1234 local, 800-926-8809 long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org if you'd like to weigh in. We'll be right back. Talking about blindness here on Perspectives today, Johnny Slayton, president of the National Federation of the Blind Tallahassee Chapter, Donald Christie, board member of the same organization, and Beth Crane, who is with the Division of Blind Services in the State Administration Office. 414-1234, the local number to call, and 800-926-8809 if it's long distance from you to Florida's capital city. We were just talking to Johnny Slayton about some of the services available through the Tallahassee chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. And Beth Crane, you've got some stuff there on the state level too through the Division of Blind Services. What sort of things do you guys offer?
Yes, the Division of Blind Services has 5 bureaus. Our biggest bureau is that of Client Services, and that's where our 6 programs are housed. The programs that we offer are vocational rehabilitation, which is for eligible individuals who wish to work. We also offer a transition program, which is to prepare youth 14 to 22 years of age to enter the world of work. Our children's program works with children from ages 5 to 14 to ensure success in school. And we can also continue to serve those individuals up to the age of 22 who are not eligible for our VR program. We also offer an adult program, which assists adults 54 and under who do not wish to work but remain independent in their home. And then an older blind program, which assists adults 55 and over who do not wish to work but would like to remain independent in their home. And last, we have a blind babies program, also known as the Early Intervention Program, which provides babies birth through 5 and their parents with resources, support, and much more. Now, all of our services are contracted with our CRPs across the state, so we work jointly together to make sure that our clients receive all of these services that they need.
Wow. So that really covers the entire gamut. I mean, from little tiny infants, you know, all the way up to seniors then.
That's correct. And if anyone is interested in reaching us toll-free, our number is 800-342-1828.
342-1828 with the 800 in front. And again, folks, this is the Florida Department of Education. Now, as I recall, Division of Blind Services has kind of been batted around different state agencies over the years, but you guys are with DOE right now.
That is correct.
That's where you're home. To the phones we go. We have calls lining up here on Perspectives. Let's start with line one and Bill. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, Tom. My question is, my brother's 67, and he had an eye stroke and cataracts. Well, he's had the cataracts removed, but he only has vision in one eye, and he's 67, and he wants to work badly. Can he be helped?
Oh, good question. Who wants to grab that one for Bill's brother?
I can entertain that question.
That's Johnny, by the way, Bill.
This is Johnny Slayton. Age is not a factor. It's just whether or not his condition is bilateral in both eyes and that he has what he needs as far as the physical and mental capacity to assume work. We can find that out really by first making an application, just stating, I want to work. This is what my eye condition is, and this is how I think I can do this job. And that's where Division of Blind Services come in. We will take that application. We'll discuss it on an individualized basis to see if the eye condition is bilateral and that you meet other requirements for the ability to work. Application first.
Okay, and that is through the Division of Blind Services then, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Hope that helps out, Bill. We got an email from a lady who says she has atrophy of the visual cortex, and she wants to know where she can go about getting a cane.
I'm going to entertain that question also. We, the National Federation of the Blind, give away canes. You can get a free cane through our organization. And, of course, there are specific catalogs and vendors that sell canes, and they range from anywhere from $25 to $40, depending. And when you get a cane, you really want to be sure that you have skills that you need to utilize it safely. Orientation and mobility is what we call it. And it's a way that people who are blind and visually impaired can use the long white cane, use a guide dog to navigate unfamiliar environments. A cane is a tool of independence, and it is a symbol of freedom. We talk about negative stereotypes and people don't want to use canes, but we have little jingles that we have in the National Federation of the Blind talking about orientation and mobility. Use our canes and we can stroll. Walk down the street so brave and bold. ONM has freed our souls. It's a symbol of freedom. And you can get them. You can call me at 850-509-4036. And I can tell you how to get one free from the National Federation of the Blind, or you can call the same number of Division of Blind Services locally at 850-245-0370, and we can connect you with the vendors who sell canes.
Well, Johnny Slayton, can I play drums on your next album?
Yes.
That was super. Thank you. That was. Now, Donald Christie, you've been using a cane for how many years now?
Probably a couple of years. I had an aversion to using the cane to begin with, and wouldn't use one. Had enough vision to get around, and as of late, I've been running into objects, and it became a safety issue. Use a cane, Donald. So I started using my cane.
Yeah, and there's. I was noticing as we were coming back here, there are certain techniques, and you can get an awful lot of orientation information just simply using that cane sweep.
Right. It allows you to see your environment. Running into things with cane, with a cane is something that allows you to feel around and know where you're going.
Beth Crane, this is something that we don't have, anyone from I Associates at Tallahassee or any of those resources available today, although they're certainly welcome to jump into the conversation if they're listening to us right now. But I think there's also a perception that because of the advances in medicine, I recall when cataracts, that was a death sentence. Your eyes were going to be gone if you had cataracts. And now, piece of cake, it's on an outpatient basis. You can get them taken. And I know, full disclosure, I've had that done. And it was remarkably pain-free and simple type of procedure to have done. But people thinking, well, blindness is no longer an issue. We got all this wonderful medical technology that can address these problems. But there's still a lot of people who are blind.
That's correct. It is not an issue as far as remaining independent and being a full functioning citizen. However, there are various eye conditions, too many to name, that are not curable.
Like the macular degeneration, and people, as we age, and we do have an aging population, we become more susceptible to those sorts of conditions and diseases as come up. And Johnny Slayton, you had said that yours was your condition was a catastrophic accident.
Yeah, actually, I had a stroke.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And then it kind of wiped my vision out. I had 10 years of blindness. And this last one was because of glaucoma. And we know about glaucoma. Once the vision is lost, because the optic nerve is damaged, you can't restore it. So this is my position. When those things happen and you know that you have a degenerative eye condition, then get a different, can I use your word, perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Start seeing things as to what you can do and not what you can't do. That's why we use seeing words. Oh, I see. Oh, let me look. And as Donald said earlier, running into things with the cane, I like to call it cane kissing. The cane contacts and gives us information. And some of the things that are very essential to us, people with vision impairment, people who lose it catastrophically, people who've been dealing with it, we can still do it. And one of the things that we have is the news line that is sponsored by Division of Blind Services and National Federation of the Blind. Lights off, ding dong, can't see. Well, you can still read the newspaper. You can still look at the TV guide. Look, did you hear me say look?
Mm-hmm.
At the TV guide. And that is a service that is free to any person with blind or visual impairment or a print impairment that keeps them from doing it. So it puts you in a different paradigm. I can still be like everybody else, everyday people, in Real World 101. So, yes, it happened catastrophically, but you can choose to stay where you are or to move on in a different view, in a different way.
In a different way. You also bring up something that is probably ignored by a lot of people when we talk about this whole healthcare discussion that we've been having at such sometimes a high volume for years now, is that eye care is a major component of any total healthcare situation. Your case, glaucoma, doctors check for that. They can check the eye pressure, and if it's above 16 or whatever the figure is, that's a danger signal. You may have to go on medication to try to bring that under control because it can happen. My brother's lost 25% of his sight to glaucoma,
mm-hmm.
and it snuck up on him.
Yes.
He never knew. It doesn't hurt, But little by little, his sight has escaped. It's now stabilized, but he had to go to a doctor. And you know how hard it is. Donald, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard sometimes for guys to kind of go, I think I better have this checked out, right?
Yes, not sure.
Absolutely.
But another challenge, Donald, isn't it the way that sighted people sometimes react? They're embarrassed or they're uneasy. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And it's they'll avoid contact with people who have visual impairments just because they're confused.
Well, we're everyday people and approachable. So I would say to them, offer your help. And if we don't need it, we'll refuse it. If we need it, we'll certainly accept it.
And that's the major thing. Ask. Don't do any assumptions. Ask. I've had some pretty colorful situations when people actually grab the cane and I'll say, let go of my eyeballs. I got to see. but just ask. And then also know that each person's loss of vision, vision impairment, is unique. You can't just say, because I go everywhere and walk everywhere and do everything, that all people with visual impairment and blindness can do it. They can, but it depends on what they want to do, how they approach it, and we are approachable. Blind is not a bad word. It covers, you know, we got that legal blindness definition, 2200, and there are people who have that definition who have vision. So it may be confusion for the general public to see somebody hold something to their face and read it, and the next thing can't even see the person who's beside them. So it's a matter of public education and people who are blind and visually impaired. That's our job. We have to make the public aware. It's a part of us. That's a unique characteristic, but it does not define what we do. And we just have to... Sometimes it's something to always be in a teaching mode, but you are. And it's okay to be that way and to know that you have services, that you have support to help you understand that it's okay. We can do this. We are approachable. You don't have to do that third person talking. Does she want such and such and such? Ask her. Or what did he say? I'm right here. I cannot see. But I can hear what you say.
I have seen that so many times when you have a blind person and a sighted person, and the clerk in the store or whomever will always talk to the sighted person. You think, hey, this other person is real. She's right here.
Right. And that's where our community has to step up and say, and, you know, people who are blind and visually impaired have to be willing to say, I really can't see that, but I'm right here. Are you talking to me? And I guess it seems to be adversarial sometimes, but unless we take that step, people with visual impairment, then we will always be under that mistaken paradigm. So we have the National Federation of the Blind Local Tallahassee Chapter. So we're out in Real World 101. We're at the veterans stand down, not as the people with the cups in their hands and tacking along, but we were there, contributors, given to those children of the veterans who are homeless. We're going to be out in the general public, in the bowling alleys, in your churches, in your clubs. And that way, we are saying that we're just as well as our sighted counterparts.
Well, speaking of being out, you also are going to be out washing some cars, I understand, too, right?
On April the 26th, Saturday, at O'Reilly's Auto Parts, 2514 West Tennessee. The National Federation of the Blind will host its annual Out of Sight Car Wash. How you like that? It's historic.
Yes,
we are raising money, funds, to support attendance at our national convention. So, blind people washing cars, of course, come by and get your car wash.
I'll be there. I'll be there for sure. Beth Crane, Johnny was talking about the need, though, for more education among sighted people. And so it would seem logical then that Division of Blind Services is under the Florida Department of Education. How do you do those sorts of outreach programs, or is that part of the overall mission, or just providing services?
It is part of the overall mission. As I mentioned, I know we're talking locally here today, but we are statewide, and each of our district offices is out in the community every day to employers, to eye doctors, sharing, you know, what we are here for, how can we help you, how can we help, do you have a person working for you who's visually impaired and maybe they don't know about our services? So it's a give and take.
And also when it comes to, I'm thinking the education component, because Donald was really fortunate. The kids that he was growing up with were generally supportive and friendly and understanding and all that kind of thing. Oh, it's just Donald. Hey, big deal. But there are so many young people who need, I guess, some enlightenment along this line. With all the other things that kids have to learn in school now, and with the shift over to a new curriculum and all that kind of thing, can that be part of the program too, do you think?
Definitely. We have, with our children's program, we have counselors who are in the school system meeting with these students and their parents, and hopefully educating the other students in their classes and their teachers.
Another nod towards diversity, because it's not just racial diversity. It's people are other abled. You have all kinds of different folks that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And this would be another part of that overall, you know, learning to just get along with people of all kinds.
Absolutely.
414-1234, the number to call for perspectives. We're talking to some folks about the services and the resources available to people who have visual impairments here on Perspectives. Long distance is 800-926-8809, or shoot us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Perspectives on WFSU-FM, and we are joined on the phone by Matt. Hi, Matt. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm a science teacher at McClay School here in town, and while I've never actually had to help a student who's visually impaired, a friend of mine has started a consultant firm. He's got a PhD in chemical education, is legally blind from birth, and has created a company called Independent Science, which allows students which helps teachers give their students hands-on opportunities to perform science, even when the students are visually impaired.
Wow, that's a concept. And he's local, Matt?
He's not local, but his services are mostly consulting, to where he can come to me with it, where he can either he or part of his company can come to you to work with you, or the consulting can be done online. But basically, he teaches that he can teach you how to adapt your in-class glassware to make it tactile, where students can read volumes from the outside of containers. He's worked with some of the major scientific technology companies to create lab sensors that will read out loud the temperature using a temperature probe, or the pH using a pH probe. And so he basically allows those students who most people would think have no ability to get a hands-on experience with science, he allows them to be able to get that same hands-on experience.
Boy, and given his situation, he would have total empathy and understanding for what's going on there, right?
Absolutely. His undergraduate degree is actually a full-on chemistry degree, so he was able to get through a bachelor's level of chemistry doing all the same hands-on labs that all of his classmates were doing, but at that time he had to figure out how to make his own accommodations. And in doing that, he and the people with whom he works have been able to develop a way they can individually work with teachers to help those teachers.
Okay,
find opportunities for their students.
Okay, Matt, does his program have a website or some other contact information? I have a feeling some folks would like to get in touch with him.
Yeah, his website is independencescience.com. His name is Dr. Terry, C-A-R-Y, Supalo, S-U-P-A-L-O. And he's worked with Verdinger Technology, which is one of the major educational lab technology firms, to create that talking device that they call a talking lab quest. That I use those for my sighted students, and they read off the information off of the screen. But the device that he worked with them will do the exact same things that my students can do with it, but it'll read out the readings out loud so that visually impaired students. Can still make the same use of that technology.
God, that is terrific. Thank you so much for sharing that. Really appreciate it, Matt.
You're very welcome.
And good luck with all the final exams and everything out there at McClay, okay?
Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, Johnny Slayton, another example of how technology is kind of coming to expand the dimensions and the abilities of folks who have visual challenges there.
That's correct. And one of the things that we like to talk about today is what we call low tech, and that is telephones. Most people have them. Some people have the smartphones. Some people have the not-so-smartphones, iPhones. And that technology has been an excellent tool as a way for people with visual impairment and blindness to read the newspaper. That is a service that is co-sponsored by Division of Blind Services and sponsored by the National Federation of the Blind. You do not have to be a Division of Blind Service client. You do not have to be a member of the National Federation of the Blind. You have to be a person in Real World 101 with a visual impairment or a print impairment that does not allow you to access newspapers and information. That is a service that is free to anyone, really in U.S. and in here in Florida. And that's the news line that we want people to be aware of. And I think Donald can give us some information on that.
Yeah. How do you access that, Donald?
Well, it's accessible in several ways, via the telephone, via website, via smartphone, and via book reader. The most common way that people would use it is through the telephone. Don't have to have a smartphone. Don't have to have a cell phone. It can be a regular landline. And there is a local number that you can dial to gain access to the newsline information. And what you get is a menu where you can select newspapers from the state or newspapers from other states, as well as national publications. Also, magazines covering a variety of subjects, and also TV listings.
Wow. It reminds me of something that is sad to say we no longer offer here at Public Radio, but we had the radio reading service that was up and running for many, many years until it unfortunately got defunded, as so many programs have. But this is even more comprehensive than that because it's searchable by local and national and magazine and everything else. So, God, that's terrific. How does one find out more about services such as the Newsline?
There's a website for Newsline, nfbnewsline.org. There's also an 800 number that you can call to get more information, 866-504-7300. And then also the local chapter of NFB will be glad to assist in getting information to individuals.
Besides the Newsline, there's another service, too. That is a monthly meeting that the National Federation of the Blind has every month. Johnny, tell us about that. What's that all about?
The National Federation of the Blind Tallahassee chapter meets once a month, the first Monday from 6 to 8 o'clock at the Lighthouse of the Big Bend. And that's at 3071 Highland Oaks Terrace. That's the consumer group. That's the group that can help you do what you need to do to be productive in society. It's a membership fee for $10 a year. And it functions under the auspices of the National Federation of the Blind of Florida, under the auspices of the National Federation of the Blind nationwide, which is the oldest and the largest organization of blind, by the blind, and for the blind. So if you're interested, you can come to our monthly meetings the first Monday at the Lighthouse. We can talk about working together to change what it means to be blind in advocacy and support through technology. We have some technology gurus, and we can talk about what we do, how we use it, through support and just having someone to show you through precept and example that it's okay to be blind, and we're changing what it means to be blind. That's our monthly meeting.
And it also does not require you to be blind to come to the meeting.
Now, that's another thing. We do accept sightlings. The thing about it is, anyone who really understands that a physical impairment like vision loss is just one of the characteristics that define you can be a member of the Tallahassee chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. We do have members who are sighted. By our Constitution, all of the officers, vice president and president, have to be blind or visually impaired because we have to maintain the position of we understand what it is, this is how we're dealing with it, and this is how we accept it. But we do need drivers. We do need other people who are sighted and who are willing to assist. So, yes, you can be sighted. And I call it typically sighted. I don't use the word normal. Because if I use normal, then that would make me abnormal. So, typically sighted. And you can join us.
Okay, because you'd already pointed out there are so many variations of visual impairment. It's not an either or. You're totally blind or you're completely sighted. It's that spectrum is huge.
Correct.
Absolutely. Well, Donald Christie, you are a board member. How do you get to be a board member of the organization?
Well, I'm newly elected board member as of April 1st. And I was voted upon by the members of the Tallahassee chapter.
Yep, so a vote of acclamation there. How long is your term for?
I believe 2 years.
2 years. Oh, okay. Now, you're sort of like a congressperson in that regard, huh? You don't get the four-year term. Beth Green, how do you see things shaking out as far as the state of Florida and its ongoing commitment to helping out folks with visual impairment through the division? Do you see your role expanding or holding the line, or what do you see ahead?
We are continually driving forward. You know, our focus in VR is employment. If there's any employers out there listening, you have two fine examples here of wonderful employees. If you would like to give some of our clients a chance to see how wonderful they can be in your place of employment, please reach out to us. We're a driving force for independence, for employability, and we are here to help.
And also access, again, going back to what's happened now with the posting of I knew that we had reached a new threshold in awareness when Braille started being a regular part of elevator information around the buttons. And now it seems to be everywhere. So that's growing, too. But that's got to be part of the division to keep pushing that sort of awareness, too.
Absolutely.
And it's definitely a part of the Tallahassee chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. Braille is not going to go away. It doesn't matter how much technology you have. You can't put that technology on a spice bottle. Okay. So it's, and then we have devices where we can have refreshable Braille. What we type, we can get it in Braille. And it's on the elevators. It's in our real world. And we, the National Federation of the Blind, promote the use of Braille. That's one of our other activities that we do. We are out in the community, yes, passing out Braille cards, talking about how Braille is important. We're in the community with sighted events. We had a member, Tanetta Cooper, who went to the Leroy Collins Library with sighted children in support of literacy, just basic literacy. And the Basic Literacy Day, what did she do? Go as a reader with a visual impairment and read using Braille. So you're talking about the youth. What did they see? They saw a person with a visual impairment reading the same Dr. Seuss books that they read with Braille. So it's about promotion of Braille, and we do that exclusively and very with warm hearts at the Tallahassee chapter of the National Federation of the Blind.
I always thought it would be very helpful in retail establishments if there could be Braille postings, like in a supermarket, so that you could go and that would add to the independence. You can find whatever you want. It's right there. You figure it out, and in the cart it goes.
Well, we do have a device, people who are blind and visually impaired, that can actually scan and read what's on the shelf. And you can just, ding, push it on that code, and it'll say, this is tomatoes by Heinz, shaka, shaka, shaka. And you can put that in your car. So even when Braille is not available, but there are some essential things about Braille, and things change on the shelf. They put it according to how the market person says, put it here, and then this will increase the sale. So in those cases, that's when technology. So we use Braille, we use technology, and we don't diminish either of those services.
Okay, and Donald Christie, you're keeping up with what the technological advancements are, too. With the continuing evolution of electronics, whether it's for support for your workplace or leisure space or anything else, this can only get better, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we'll be looking to see what happens as far as some of those advancements are concerned. There was an interesting article I read just a couple weeks ago that had to do with the getting into the what they call the neural net, where there's the ability now to cause all kinds of direct inputs to the brain that circumvent the eyes and the ears and the other senses that we have. And for some folks, that's sort of a scary prospect that, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, Facebook is suddenly going to appear inside my head. But for folks with various kinds of challenges, that could open up a brand new vista.
Yeah. I think we have to be aware that what's in technology is actually mind-boggling. But the emphasis also is there are some simple ways of doing some things that will allow you to be everyday people in a real world. There are canes that beep and that ching-a-chang and vibrate based on where you're going. But if that technology fails, if it rains, if it shorts out, then what you going to do? Okay? So that's why we talk about low tech. What's about a long, straight cane? You don't have to feed it, and it's not going to short out when it rains. So, yes, the sky is the limit when it comes to technology and advancement, and we support it. We, people who are blind, people with visual impairments. But we also know that there are simple ways to really do what we need to do.
You spoke of feeding it, so that brings us to Leader Dogs for the Blind. That program is still up and running, isn't it?
Yes, and you say Leader Dog, and there are various guide dog agencies. We have Fidelco. We have people say the one that consistently everybody say guide dog, or this is there are various agencies that support guide dogs, and they are extremely important. They are another tool to be utilized for independence. And there are misconceptions around that. People talk to the dog instead of to the owner and think the dog knows automatically where to go and what to do and that the owner is not in control. So it's interesting. But yes, those agencies for people who are blind and visually impaired are still out there. Guide dogs are extremely important, and they can be used as tools of independence.
Yeah, a friend of mine in Pennsylvania just depended on his guide dog. He went through, I think, five or six of them.
Yeah.
And they were just remarkable mm-hmm. creatures, intelligent, but the companionship aspect was a big thing, too.
It is. It is. And it just depends on what a person needs. I can attest, very frankly, that independence, as far as orientation and mobility is concerned, is a unique trait. To say that a dog is safer than a cane is not, it's really misinformation. It just depends on what level you are and where you are. And I don't feel any apprehensions, and things just go well.
Well, we have enjoyed having you back again, Johnny Slayton. Thank you so much for being on Donald Christie 2. And, of course, Beth Crane. Don't forget that car wash coming up on Saturday from 9 to 1. O'Reilly Auto Parts on West Tennessee Street. And thank you, folks, for listening in and contacting us here on Perspectives, which is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the phones and emails today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Check in again next week. More expert opinion and your input, too, on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.